All right, if you take your Bibles and turn to Ruth chapter 2. We're going to be at verse 2 to start with. Ruth chapter 2. Verse 2 says, "And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we again are thankful for each and every opportunity we have to be in your house. Thank you for your word and every opportunity we have to be under the preaching and teaching of it. I pray, Father, as always, you'd speak to each heart personally, and we thank you for what you're going to accomplish today. We know that there's some, Father, that aren't here due to illness and all. We just pray, Father, that you be with them and restore them, and thank you for all that you're going to do in their lives. As we turn to your word now, we pray that you just get all the glory, honor, and praise for what you're about to accomplish, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So glean. The Mosaic law commanded that the harvest should not be reaped to the corners, nor the gleanings picked up. It was their way of taking care of the poor. So look at Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19, 9 and 10, if I can get these pages to turn. There we go. Leviticus 19, verse 9 says, "And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of the vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God." So even back then, God took care of the poor, right? He made sure they were taken care of. And people say, well, no, those who owned the field would take. No, it was God's law that they would do that. So they would leave that. And I think we've taken that to an extreme, to where we're, instead of doing a hand up to the poor, we give a hand out to the poor, and then they expect it. And we live in the entitlement age where we're entitled to things instead of having to do it. But notice that they had to go to the field. They had to do the gleaning if they wanted to eat, right? They had to participate in what they were doing. I've said for years it'd be great if we had that kind of idea where, yes, we'll help you out when you need it, but you need to contribute as well. And we don't have that mentality. We just have a mentality of handout after handout after handout and can't figure out why we have so much trouble. And I find it interesting, those who really truly need it have a hard time getting it, and those who know how to work the system get more than enough. And there should be a way to fix that, but I don't think they want to. So gleanings were stalks of grain left after the first cutting. These were dedicated to the needy, especially widows, orphans, and strangers. We can look in Leviticus 23. In verse 22. Leviticus 23:22, it says, "And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of the harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God." And then Deuteronomy chapter 24. Nineteen through 21. Says, when thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. Over and over and over, they were told what they were to do to help the poor, the widow, the stranger, the fatherless, and so forth. Because of God's heartfelt care for the underprivileged, he installed a provision in the Old Testament law that some grain would be left during the harvest so the poor and widowed, orphans, and strangers could glean to survive. God's people ought to care that much too. The right of the poor to pick up the grain left by the reapers was guaranteed by the law of Moses. They could just go and do that. It wasn't that they were doing anything wrong. The law said that they could do that. So they would go and take advantage of that. We remember that the Hebrews were never to harvest the last of the crop. They were to leave enough for the widows and orphans to glean. All the poor had the right as well as the privilege of gleaning from the field after it was harvested. This was a humiliating experience, especially for Naomi, who had been a proud Hebrew herself. Perhaps that is why it is mentioned again that Ruth was a Moabitess. She is a Moabitess by birth, but a Hebrew by marriage to a Hebrew. In this particular instance, the gleaning seemed to be of ears of corn. Ruth is not too concerned about what the workers feel, but wants to find favor in the owner of the field's sight. Ruth seeks and receives permission from Naomi to do this. She asks her mother-in-law for permission to be able to go and do that. And she understood, right? They needed sustenance. They needed something. Somebody had to go out and do that. She was willing to go do that. Obviously, when you're out in the fields and you're one of the workers in the field that are bringing in the harvest, and you see these on the corners, you know that those are the poor and the widows and the orphans and all, that they're out there. And how do we look down upon people because of their status in life? It's not right, but people do that. It used to be that it was humiliating to do that. Now I think they're proud to hold their signs on the street corners and beg for money. And I know I shared here before, but when I was at ISC Systems out at Liberty Lake, the main manager over the entire warehouse, which was huge, she had some positions open. She was coming back for lunch, and this guy had a sign up that said, "We'll work for food, right? Anything helps." And so she stopped her car, got out, walked over to him, and offered him a job. And he said, "Lady, I'm pulling $40,000 a year, tax-free dollars, standing on this corner. You think I want to come to work for you?" 40 grand. Now, after I left there, I worked for another company, and then I went into real estate for 30 years. So we're talking 36 years probably ago, pulling in 40 grand a year. I said, when she told us that story, I said, "He makes more money than I do, and I pay taxes on mine." And she said, "Exactly." I said, "And he was proud of it." I said, "Wow, interesting, isn't it? I'm entitled, right?" The entitlement mentality. It's been going on for a long time. So Ruth's hap, right, was to glean in his field. Look at verse 3. "And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech." She went and came. Here was a classic example of God's providence at work. Her hap, right? She just happened, right? Ruth happened to come to this section of field belonging to Boaz. Naomi later recognized that this was through the providence of a gracious God. The word hap is the word mikra and means accident or fortune, chance. Speaking of her good fortune, she was fortunate that she went to the field of Boaz to glean, right? This seems as if it was by chance, but we know the Lord arranged the circumstances. I don't believe anything just happens by chance. I believe God providentially directs our paths. And I believe when we are not willing to do what God wants, God can work it out so we end up where he wants us in the long run anyway. Or he can just take us out of here if we're not willing to do as he directs. In verses 14 through 17, note throughout how Boaz manifested the spirit of the law in going beyond what the Mosaic legislation required by feeding Ruth, letting Ruth glean among the sheaves, and leaving extra grain for her to glean. So then we see Ruth and Boaz in verses 4 through 16, and his questions about Ruth in verses 4 through 7. Boaz arrives in the fields and gives a godly blessing to his workers. Look at verse 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." Obviously, he says, "The Lord be with you." That was awful nice of him to bestow that blessing upon them from the Lord. And then they, "The Lord bless thee." Obviously, Boaz was one that was a man of God. This unusual labor practice speaks to the exceptional goodness of Boaz and his workers. The fields were just out of Bethlehem. It seemed that Boaz lived in the city but owned fields here where Ruth was gleaning. Just by his greeting, we know that Boaz was a man of God. He was not cruel to his workers, and they seemed to have respect for him as well. I remember in the good old days, right, when that seemed to be the way it was. Workers respected their employer, and employers respected their workers. And then what happened? I got thrown out the window, right? I worked for a company that I thought, I'll be here forever. My grandfather worked for the railroad for years and years and years, and I thought, I'm going to work for this company, and I'll retire here and everything. And then I saw that they didn't care about their employees at all. I said, it's interesting. My dad taught me when you work, you give 110%. You don't complain, you just work. You do what they're paying you for. And then I found out that they just didn't care. We caught management lying to us over and over and over, and I said, you know what? This is not right. This isn't the way this goes. And one day, they started doing layoffs. I said, wow, wonder what's going on. The company was doing really well. Now all of a sudden, it's not doing so well. Maybe that was another lie. Next thing you know, they're in bankruptcy. I was fortunate enough, they laid me off, and I got my last paycheck. I knew people that worked there an extra year after I was gone and didn't get paid. And they kept waving that golden carrot, we'll get you a check, we'll get you a check, and they just kept hanging on, hanging on, hanging on, thinking they were going to get a check. Then one of their main purchasers out of Arizona bought him out of bankruptcy because he wanted one of the formulas for the coating that he used on his product in Arizona. And that's how he got it, buy him out of bankruptcy. There used to be that loyalty both ways. It doesn't seem to be there anymore. You might be one of those that have a good situation, but as a general rule, that's not the way it is now. People are expendable. Even though they're finding it's hard to hire people, they don't have a problem getting rid of them when they want to. It's interesting, but it should be where they cared, right? I always thought, this is my employer. I need to do everything I can because as long as they stay in business, I have a paycheck, right? I have a place to work. So I want to give all that I can. In exchange, they should treat me well. Not expecting anything more than what I've agreed to, but that they should treat me well. Doesn't happen that way anymore, as a general rule. Again, if you are fortunate enough to have that, praise the Lord, right? Not cruel to his workers. And then they respected him as they said, "The Lord bless thee." This was an ideal relationship between the owner of the land and his workers. He then inquires concerning the identity of Ruth, who immediately catches his attention. In Ruth 2:5, says, "Then Boaz unto his servant that, then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this?" The one who directed the work for the workers and all, the one who took care of everything and oversaw the work there and all, that one is the one that he inquires as to who Ruth is. He takes care of all the provisions for them. He pays their wages when their work is done. He had care of the field and all things related to it. So whose damsel is this? To whom does she belong? Of what family is she? Whose daughter is she? Or whose wife? Perhaps her dress might be somewhat different from that of the Israelite women. Ruth has caught the eye of Boaz. We may safely assume from this that Ruth was beautiful. She did not look like the other paupers in the field. This is why he asked who she was. Then his servant describes Ruth in verses 6 and 7, her faithfulness to Naomi, her loyalty. Verse 6. "And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back from with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And taken a great deal of notice of Ruth and had conversed with her, and so was capable of giving answers to his master's questions. It's the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. Perhaps he had not got knowledge of her name and therefore only describes her by the country from where she came. Or maybe he's like me and can't remember name. I'm terrible with names. I have to repeat it over and over and over so I start remembering. And it's something that I've tried to conquer, but you know, sometimes you just don't remember them all. By her coming there along with Naomi when she returned from Moab, of whom Boaz was well acquainted, and of whose return he had been informed. Then Ruth certainly has caught the attention of Boaz, her faithfulness in the field, her hard work. Now, keeping in mind, she's going and gleaning. She's picking up whatever they are going to need, right, for sustenance. She knows that this work has to be done in order that they're going to be able to eat, be able to sustain life and all. So she knows that. And yet she's out there being a faithful worker. Not slothful, but faithful. We do our work. We're supposed to do it unto the Lord. Doesn't matter if you like your employer or not. You're not working specifically for them. You're working unto the Lord. There's a difference. She was faithful out there. She was working hard. Ruth 2:7 says, "And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house." Ruth had told the servant in charge who she was, as she probably made it his business, as he probably made it his business to know who's gleaning in his master's field. Sheaves were the bundles of grain stalks tied together for transport to the threshing floor. The house, these are field tents erected so that they could get out of the heat and all, and to be refreshed during the day as they're out there working and all. Ruth spent very little time in this house as she worked diligently. We see from this that she had asked permission to glean. Now, again, this was something that by law they were allowed to do. And Ruth asks permission to be able to do that. Shows her character, right? She had worked diligently all morning gathering food for herself and for Naomi. Then his directions to Ruth are in verses 8 through 14. Boaz directs her to glean only in his field. Verse 8, then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens." My daughter, it's an expression of kindness. Expression of kindness, again, speaks of Boaz's character. He ordered her to attend his reapers in every field they gathered in, and not to glean in the field of another, for there would be no need for her to go anywhere else. There would be nowhere else that she could do better than right there in the field of Boaz. My maidens, the ones who tied up the sheaves, she would be safest working alongside these other females. Seems that Boaz sought her out and spoke to her. She would not have been with the other harvesters. She would have been in the rear picking up what they had left. He had to seek her out specifically. Seems he immediately wants to help this beautiful maiden who was related to him by marriage. He tells her not to seek other places to glean. He wants to help her. She should be very near. She would be very near the young women who were harvesting the corn. In fact, she would be the first to glean. This would be an advantage for her. It's like Boaz gives her every advantage that he can to make sure she's taken care of. Boaz promises her protection, and he promises her provision also. In verse 9, it says, "Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Young men, the ones who cut the grain with the hand sickles. Seems that Boaz was given orders to the young men not to touch Ruth. She's off limits, right? He charged all his servants to be very tender of her and respectful to her. And no doubt they would be kind to one whom their master showed kindness. She was a stranger and he wanted her to feel at ease. She's to drink water that they have drawn. She is to be treated with not to be treated with disrespect by anyone. She is Boaz's kinswoman. She is to stay near the women harvesters, and it appears that Boaz has already taken quite an interest in Ruth. Verses 10 and 11, Ruth found favor in Boaz's eyes because she had previously found favor in God's eyes. Boaz answers her questions in verses 10 through 13. She humbly asks why she, a stranger, would find grace in his eyes. Look at verse 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" She gratefully acknowledged his kindness to her. A stranger. She remained ever mindful that she was an alien. She's not from this land. And she conducts herself humbly. That humbleness that we don't like, right? We don't like to humble ourselves, but she was willing to humble herself. She realized that she's not from this land. She's a stranger here. She's thankful for that. Thankful for any kindness shown to her. I've said all along, we should treat people with kindness. The Bible even says if we have those that are enemies of ours, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to treat them with kindness. Look at Deuteronomy 23. Verses 3 and 4. When you think of how she's treated kindly, listen to this. Verses 3 and 4 of chapter 23 of Deuteronomy. An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever, because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. She acknowledges this grace, this favor that she's found with Boaz. She humbly says she does not understand why he has chosen to bless her. She bows herself before him to show her humbleness. She realizes that Boaz is showing her special favor. She has never met him before, so it is difficult for her to understand this. She doesn't understand why they're being so kind to her. Why is this going on? And Boaz answers with the following reasons for his kindness in verses 11 and 12. Because of her kind faithfulness to Naomi. Look at verse 11. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. Fully been showed me. This speaks of both Naomi's quickness to speak kindly of Ruth and Boaz's network of influence in Bethlehem. Ruth remained true to her promise. Look at chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. It says, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. She stayed true to that promise that she made to Naomi. She's staying faithful. And then she proved to be diligent in her care for Naomi. Besides her being a very beautiful woman who caught his eye, he has great admiration for her attitude towards Naomi. He realizes that Ruth had given up much to come to this strange land to help her mother-in-law. She left, as I said before, everything she knew. The only thing she knows in this new land is Naomi and Naomi's God, right? Other than that, she knows no one nor anything about this place. Unless, you know, something that Naomi may have told her about it, but she's never experienced it. Because of her leaving her pagan homeland and coming to trust under the wings of the Lord God. Verse 12 says, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Boaz saw Ruth and her need as a widow without resources and as a woman who had endured hardship and blessed her. He then welcomed this impoverished, despised foreigner by personally giving her his food, demonstrating to any onlooker that Ruth should be treated with respect and kindness. He further provided for her by telling his workers to purposely leave extra gleanings for her. His actions revealed Boaz as a man of pity, of prayer, of provision, and of protection. First, Ruth found refuge under the protective wings of the God of Israel. Then he gave her Boaz, her kinsman redeemer, and she came under his protective covering. Boaz's appreciation of Ruth's kindness strikes a similar chord in his own feelings. He recognizes his opportunity to give protection and provision, as would the God in whom this young Moabitess had come to trust. Scripture pictures God as catching Israel up on his wings in the Exodus. Look at several verses. We're going to look at some in Exodus, one in Exodus, one in Deuteronomy, and several in Psalms. So Exodus 19, verse 4. Exodus 19, 4, it says, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself." Deuteronomy 32, 11. Deuteronomy 32:11 says, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings." God's here portrayed as a mother bird sheltering the young and fragile with her wings. Then look at Psalms 17, verse 8. Psalm 17:8 says, "Keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings." Then 36 and verse 7. Where it says, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God, therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." Chapter 57 and verse 1. Says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." And then there's several more that you could go through. I mean, it's over and over and over we hear about being in the shelter of his wings. Boaz blessed Ruth in light of her newfound commitment to and dependence on the Lord. Later, he would become God's answer to this prayer. Boaz is aware and is telling the beautiful maiden that God is with her. He knows that God is blessing Ruth in every way. It appears to me that Boaz has special feelings towards Ruth already. He not only thinks she is beautiful, but is appreciative of her character as well. He speaks a blessing upon her as he says, "The Lord recompense thy work." He prayed for her that the Lord would recompense her work, her strong affection to the commonwealth of Israel, to which she was by birth an alien, was such a work of the divine grace in her as would certainly be rewarded by him under whose wings she had come to trust. Those that by faith come under the wings of the divine grace and have a full confidence in that grace may be sure of the full recompense of reward for their works. It seems that Ruth has learned to put her trust in the Lord. She's overwhelmed by his kindness. Verse 13. Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens." She's already found favor in his sight, right? I mean, we see that through the word. The words are to be considered not as a wish for it, but as an acknowledging of it and expressing her faith and confidence that she should, for time to come, find favor in his sight, and there would be more of it in the future. Let me find favor, for which she gives the following reasons. For thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid. Said kind and comfortable words to her very heart, which were cheering, refreshing, and reviving to her. It's always good to give somebody some encouragement, isn't it? To lift people up when they're down. That's what we need to do. Unfortunately, we have a habit, and I'm going to pick on Baptists again because that's what I are. We have a habit of kicking people when they're down instead of helping them up. It's not right. I'd like to say it has stopped, but it hasn't. It's still going on today. I'm not necessarily picking on this church. I'm saying, as a general rule, the Baptist, especially independent Baptists, have a tendency to kick each other when we're down instead of helping and trying to lift up and be an encouragement. And that's what God's laid on my heart to do, is try and be an encouragement. So I try to do that to the 15 men that I send out, an encouraging scripture. And it's just I wouldn't really call it a devotion. It's not that long, but it's quick and has an impact on their lives, because they've shared with me that they really appreciate them. And I appreciate being able to do that. But we need to be an encouragement to one another. Things are going to wax worse and worse. My neighbor came across the street. I haven't talked to him for a while. He came across the street. I was out mowing the lawn. And he said, just came over to check on you and see how your wife's doing. And he says, I haven't seen you much. And he says, because I've been busy. I said, well, he said, things are getting worse, aren't they? I said, the Bible says they're going to wax worse and worse. He said, it's not going to get better, is it? I said, the Bible says it's going to wax worse and worse, right? He said, what are we going to do? I said, trust God. What else can you do? Just put your faith and trust in God. He's going to take care of it. No matter what we go through, He's going to take care of it. He'll get us through on the other side. She says, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens, not worthy to be one of them, or to be ranked with them, being a poor widow and a Moabite woman, right? I don't deserve to be ranked amongst them. She thought it was an advantage to be a handmaiden of so kind a person as Boaz. She wanted to please him. She knew that he had power to help her and Naomi in their need. She also was not assuming that she would get the same treatment as the Hebrew handmaidens. And verse 14 says, and Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. Vinegar, the word is oxos, denotes sour wine, the ordinary drink of laborers and common soldiers. Sour wine mixed with a little oil, used to quench thirst. This was an invitation to eat with Boaz and the reapers. This was huge, right? I mean, those who come and glean the corners and all weren't, as a general rule, invited to eat with them. This was a meal provided for the workers and all. And she, of course, accepted and ate with them. Boaz passed the parched corn to her to eat with bread. She left as soon as the meal was over. I find it interesting, as I was studying this part, I came across some commentaries that said she didn't eat at the same table as Boaz and the reapers. She ate at a distance away from them because she wasn't allowed to be at the same table. I said, then why does it say Boaz passed the parched corn to her to eat with the bread? I don't know about you, but my arms don't reach a ways off. If you're going to reach the parched corn and give it to her, you've got to be at the same table, I'm assuming. I said,
it's interesting how people read things into this that aren't there. She was shown great kindness. She may have been a Moabitess, but Boaz showed her favor, invited her to eat with them. Would that be, I mean, I got news for you. If I invite you to my house to eat with us, I'm not setting you in the other room. That just doesn't make sense to me, right? He invited her because he wanted to dine with her, not away from her. He's showing kindness and wanting to provide for her needs. All right, we are out of time, so we'll stop there. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this book of Ruth and the kindness that Boaz showed this Moabite woman that would have gone far beyond what would have been expected. And yet, he, under your direction, showed her great kindness. Father, I pray that we too could show great kindness to others, and that they would see something in us that they want. So we thank you for all that you're going to accomplish throughout the day, looking forward to the upcoming service, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.